Now, if I shout it out, it appear as a message. What does it say? It says that, first of all, I add up all the limitations. In all these limitations, I find a contribution. So, if you do not look at this, the right-hand side is the summation of marginal contribution, right? So you have many, many marginal contributions because I'm trying it over all the pi. What is pi? Pi is permutation, right? So for each permutation, I compute I's marginal contribution and then I add them up together. Alright? Okay? And then divide by what? What? Divide by n factorial, because altogether you have n factorial permutations. Right? Okay, so this is exactly the average marginal contribution of the player I. And then we call it phi IG. Okay? So phi IG is I's Sharpley value. Okay, so any question? It's okay, we are going to move on to the real thing. Okay, so in the previous example, we know the Sharpley value of player 1 and player 2, both of them are 10, right? $10. Okay. Now, actually, Sharpley value also has a probabilistic understanding. Okay, what is that? Now, just now we say the Sharpley value is the average marginal contribution, right? This is the old definition. Average marginal contribution of player I compared to its predecessor. Right? Okay. Now we can also say, if we randomly pick a permutation, what's the expected gain? Okay, so what's the expected marginal contribution of player I to its predecessor? Right? Because average and expectation has some similarity, right? Because all the permutations here have the same chance, same probability showing up if you do random selection, right? We randomly select a permutation, and then the expected marginal gain would be the same as this average marginal gain, right? Okay, so Sharpley value can also tell you, this is the thing you can get in expectation, okay? We are not talking about worst case, we are talking about something in expectation, right? Okay. Well, so let's see some examples. The first one is ice cream game, right? So in this ice cream game, I change the numbers again. It becomes 6, 4, 2. Alright? And then ice cream size, it didn't change. Still $7, $9, and $11. Now, let's look at marginal contribution of C. Now, focus on this person, alright? Marginal contribution of C on top of what's this? CMP means C arrive first, then M and then P. Then what's C's marginal value? Zero. Because $6 you cannot buy anything, right? So zero. And this one is also zero because C arrives first. Now what is MCP? Now MCP means $4 come first and then $6 next, right? So after C join, you have $10 which you can buy this one, right? But $4 can buy nothing. So before C joins, nothing. And then after C joins, you buy 750 grams. Right? Oh, okay. Right? This is a marginal contribution. And then look at PCM. So it's again, C arrives a second, right? Second place. Now P arrives 2. 2 also can buy nothing. And then when you have C, you have $8, and you can buy this, right? Okay? Now you have 500 marginal. And then how about C arriving last? When C arrives last, you already have $6 before C, but $6 can buy nothing, right? Again, there are zero, but after C joins, you can buy this, right? The biggest ice cream. Now you can buy 1,000 grams, right? Okay, so both of these, they are 1,000, because before C arrives, nothing. After C arrives, you can buy the biggest, right? How do you calculate the Shanghai value? Yeah, average of these values, right? Okay, good. Now you have this one. 3,250 divided by 6, right? And they have a Shanghai value of 542 grams, right? Okay. Well, so this is the way to calculate Shanghai value. Now comes the very important moment. We have defined Shanghai value, but we want to know what properties this kind of definition has. Now we are going to talk about four properties. All of them are very natural, except the last one. Last one is not that natural, but the first three are very natural. Okay? So let's see the first one. The first one is very, very easy. The first one says, using Shanghai value, you can give all the money out. Alright? That means Shanghai value of 1 plus 2 plus until the last player Shanghai value, they are adding up to value of grand coalition. Alright? Okay? So why is this true? Okay, this is actually quite easy. Although I say quite easy, you still need one trick to do the proof. Okay? So, you have the permutation pi, and then suppose pi I is the position of I in permutation pi. Okay? Oh, so, sorry. It's a player in position I. Okay? So the I's player in the sequence. Okay, so Shanghai value, how do you calculate it? We just use the original definition, right? So phi I equals what? Phi I equals this. Every phi I is equal to 1 over n factorial times some sum, right? So let's forget about this one, because this one is equal to this one, right? So you are adding up all the people's Shanghai value, so this summation is for all the people, right? All the player. Now for each player, you do this. What's this? This is exactly the definition of Shanghai value, because you are doing calculation over all the permutations, right? Pi in Pn, that's every permutation. And for every permutation, you do what? You compute I's marginal values. Remember, S pi I is people before I in permutation pi, right? So this one means I together with its predecessor, right, their value, minus I's predecessor's value. So this is an I's marginal contribution in the sequence pi, right? Okay, so this is how you do it, because S pi I is people before I, right? Okay? Now we are using a very important trick, and actually I believe many of you have seen it. What's that trick? The trick says, I'm going to swap these two sums so that it becomes this. I will do summation over all the players first inside, and then do the summation on permutations. That's the same. Alright, we swap the sum. It just group the terms in a different way, right? Originally you group it in a horizontal way, right? For each permutation. And then now I group it vertically, right? In this way. I do every player first, right? And then sum over all the terms. So it's just a sum in a different direction, right? Originally row-wise, and now column-wise. But the total sum is still the same, right? Okay? Well, now of course, this one is easier, right? Because these two index sets, they are independent. But if these two index sets are dependent on each other, then when you swap these two, you need to be careful, all right? Now, although in this class, I'm not going to do that trick, but I hope you bear in mind, right? So when you swap the two sums, you need to be careful, alright? Only when they are independent, you can directly swap them, alright? If they have some relationship, probably not so easy, right? You have to change the index. Alright, so after swapping, what happens? You see, inside is what? I's marginal contribution in permutation pi. And then this I is from 1 to 2 to 3. So that means in permutation I add all the people's, all the players' marginal contribution. But the order I add is a bit strange, because I add player 1's marginal contribution, and then player 2, and then player 3. You see, I'm jumping back and forth, right? I'm jumping back and forth. This way is not so friendly. I'm going to change the way to the following. I'm going to change the adding order to be from pi 1 to pi 2 to pi 3. Still remember what is pi? Pi 1 means the first player in that sequence, right? Pi 2 is the second player in that sequence. And then pi 3, pi 4, right? Okay? So it's again the same. These two are the same. You know, the reason is, it's just another order of addition, right? Previously, I had player 1 is marginal, player 2 is marginal, and then player 3 marginal, player 4 is marginal. Now I change the sequence, change the order. I say, oh, I had the first player as marginal, and then second player as marginal, and then third one, right? Okay? If I do this, the sum is still the same, but the summation becomes easier to understand, because now the summation is what? You first have an empty set, then add 1's marginal contribution, right? And then 2's marginal contribution, 3's marginal contribution, 4, right? So now I'm talking about order, right? Order of the player. 1, 2, 3, 4, this order. So when you do this, you can cancel the terms, right? Because this one is V pi 1 minus V empty set. What's the second term? It's V pi 1 pi 2 minus what? V pi 1. Oh, V pi 1 gone, right? Disappear. Okay, so then I cancel. I can cancel all the terms. And in the end, I only have what? Vn minus V empty set, right? Okay, so Vn minus V empty set, you know, V empty set is nothing, right? So they only have Vn left in the end. Don't have Vn, right? And actually, this is Vn for every permutation. No matter which permutation you give me, it is always Vn, right? Okay? And then in the end, how many Vn's do you add? It depends on how many permutations you have, right? Okay? How many? N factorial, right? And then this N factorial will cancel with this N factorial and becomes Vn, right? Okay, so as I said, it's easy, but you still need some trick to show, indeed, I give out all the money, right? For Sharpe value, it does not store or hide some money from the players. So basically, all the values generated by the players will be given to the players, right? So this is the first property. Alright, so any question here? Hope not. Alright, so now, let's look at the second property. Second property is what? It's about null player. Remember that, did you recall I mentioned null player sometime earlier in this course? If yes, then where? Yeah, head of inquiry in which game? Oh, vote, okay. Simple game. Then you caught me. I forgot whether I further mentioned that in simple game, but we did mention it in the voting game, right? So, what is that called? Voting game, there's another word before it.
WG.
Weighted, yeah, very good. Weighted voting game, right? Weighted voting game. Now in that game we mentioned null player. Null player basically means that you add a player in. No matter which group you add it in, it's useless, right? And then we have an opposite concept for veto player, right? Okay, without this person, everybody else is nothing, right? Okay, so null player here is the same. A player I, we say is null player if you add this player to any coalition, the value of the coalition itself is the same as value of the coalition together with player I. Alright? Basically, I is useless. So, if I is now player, what do you think? It's marginal, or sorry, it's sharply that it is. If I is now player, what is I's sharply that it? Huh? What? Decrease. Why there is an action here? Am of this player, right? Yeah, zero, right? Okay? Yeah. Okay, so this is what we are going to show. Shopping value of now player is zero. Okay, how to prove it? Now, it's again very easy because remember, what do we do with the Shopping value? Shopping value is you add up all the minor contribution of player I for these possible permutations, right? For each permutation, I do marginal contribution. But because I is marginal contribution, no matter what predecessor it has, or what people, which group of people are before it, this marginal contribution is always zero, right? So every term here is zero. Then no matter how many you add, it is still zero, right? Okay, well, that's I think it's the easiest to prove, right? You ever see, right? Because every term is zero, so the whole is zero, right? After you divide by the one by n factorial, it's also zero. Okay. Now, this is the one directional thing. So it says if I is now player, then Shapley value is zero, right? Then can you do it reverse? You say okay, if Shapley value of I is zero, can I say I is now player? Now you already see my hint here, right? So the only if condition, this condition is only true when the game is monotone. Now still remember what is monotone? Not decrease, right? So when you have more people, your value becomes bigger, right? You will not say, oh, because I have one more person, the value becomes bad, right? You will not see this, okay? Now, so one example of a non-monotone game is the following. You see, in this game, you have two players, and then player 1 and player 2, each of them alone has a value of 1. But if you put them together, the value is 0. That means these two people, they probably are enemies, right? They refuse to work if the enemy is together with that person, right? Okay, so you put them together, it becomes 0. Now, in this game, how do you calculate Shapley value? Shapley value, 1's marginal contribution on top of empty set is 1. But then 1's marginal contribution on top of 2 is what? Negative 1, right? Because 2 itself can have 1. But then when you add 1 in, it becomes 0. It's negative 1, right? So 1 plus negative 1, sum is 0. So that means Shapley value of both players, they are 0 here. But they are not now players. Actually, they do have some negative effect on top of the other person, right? Not now effect, it's negative effect, all right? Okay, so you see, in this game, because it is not monotone, it's possible that the Shapley value being 0 does not mean it is a now player, right? Okay, well, so this is still very easy, although slightly more difficult than this, because you need to find one example which violates, right, this reverse direction. Okay. Now next one. Now before I show you the next one, I would like to ask you something. Okay, what do you think this next property should be? Recall the motivational example we give you to introduce Shapley value. Then you should expect Shapley value satisfy that condition, right? What's the example I give you in the beginning of Shapley value section? Remember that example, how many players do we have? Two, right? Two players, one person alone, $5, two people together, $20, right? Okay? That's the example which makes us think what value we should give to each player, right? Eventually, we give how much to each player? $10, right? Okay, then what does it mean? It means the shepherder will satisfy some criteria, some property. What's that property? Same treatment for what? Same treatment for people making same contribution, right? But how do we define people making same contribution? So that's the definition we are going to introduce, right? So two players, I and J, we call them symmetric. What does it mean? Symmetric means if I have a base set, base coalition C, right? You add I in, it makes some marginal contribution, right? You add J in, it also makes some marginal contribution. And these marginal contributions are the same, right? So in that case, we say they are symmetric. Now remember, this property holds, this condition holds for any coalition C, right? You cannot say, oh, for a specific coalition, adding I and J in, same effect, not enough. Okay? It should be the same, no matter which base you use. Alright? Your coalition C can be anything. And then, based on this anything, you add I and J in, they make the same marginal contribution. Right? Okay, in that case, we say I and J are symmetric. And for symmetric players, what do you expect to see for the Shapley values of them? They are equal, very good, okay? Expect them to have equal Shapley value. Right? So this is very natural expectation, right? This is also echoed back to the example I gave you, show you at the beginning, right? Okay, so how to prove it? Now this time, again, we'll use some trick, but not too difficult, right? Okay, so basically, the trick says, you give me one permutation pi, I will give you a corresponding permutation pi prime, which swaps I and J. You see, in permutation pi, it's something like I, and then something and J, and something. And then swap I and J is here, I is there, and then becomes this, right? Okay, so this kind of permutation is one-to-one mapping, right? You have one permutation here, it maps to some permutation there, right? Okay, now what can you say about this I and J's marginal contribution? Now remember, you see that I's marginal contribution in this permutation should be the same as J's marginal contribution in this permutation. Why? Because these people are the same, right? I didn't move them. The people before I in this permutation and the people before J in this permutation, they are the same group of people, right? Okay? Because they are the same group of people, according to definition of symmetry, I's marginal contribution in one side is the same as J's marginal contribution in the other side, right? Okay, so your delta are the same. Delta I is the same as delta J, right? For these two sequences. Okay, now you see, you can find a one-to-one mapping for I and J, their marginal contribution, because I's marginal contribution, you have a lot, right? You have a lot. J's marginal contribution also a lot. Now you find a way to link one marginal contribution on this side to another marginal contribution on this side, right? You say, oh, these two terms are same. And then second one is the same as this one. Third one is the same as this one, right? You can always find a mapping. Then in the end, if you add both sides together, what do you see? The summation should be that. Should be what? Should be the same, right? Oh, good. Now you have the same summation. And the same summation divided by n factorial is still the same, right? That's why the Shapley value of I and J, they are the same, right? Okay. Well, so the third property, I think it's a major property we hope to see for Shapley value, but it's not last property. We still have one more, and that one is not so straightforward. Alright, so that one more, but on the other hand, that one more is more useful when you try to analyze the property for games. Alright, so let's see the last one. So the last one is about the combination of games. What is that? Let's see. We define the addition of games, right? So we have two games, G1 and G2. Right? Each of them has a value function, right? G1 has a value function U, and G2 has a value function V. Now we define a new game instead of adding these two games together. G1 plus G2. Okay? G1 plus G2. And then what's the value of the new game? The value of the new game is the value of the first game plus the value of the second game. Okay? Alright? So now, what can we say about the Shapley value of these games? Right? Because anyway, we want to build up the relationship among the Shapley values, right? You have the first game have Shapley value, second game has Shapley value, and the big game. Game 1 plus game 2 also has Shapley value. What's your expectation? For example, for player I, right? It's Shapley value in game 1, Shapley value in game 2, and Shapley value in the big game. What's their relationship? Yeah, the bigger one is equal to the sum of the small one. There we go. Okay, so that's the very natural expectation, right? So then for player I, right? In the big game, its Shapley value should be its Shapley value in the small game 1 plus the Shapley value in the small game 2. Alright? Now, how to show this? Again, we can simply prove it by definition. Right? You know, what is phi I G1 plus G2? Marginal contribution, right? So, all the marginal contribution has 1 over n factorial, so we'll keep it here. And then, among all the permutations, right? Among all the pi. What do you add? What's this? These first two terms is I's marginal contribution in the big game. Right? Because big game value is what? Big game value is U plus V, right? Okay? So I just need to do U, people before I with I, and V, people before I with I, right? Okay? So these two add together is the value of S pi I with I in the big game. And then minus the similar term in the small, a similar term without I, right? So these are only people before I, okay? I is gone. So that's the marginal contribution of I in the big game, right? Okay, and then we just shuffle these two terms. I say, okay, I move it, I combine this first term with the third term, right? First minus third becomes this. Second minus fourth. Comes this, right? You just reshuffle the terms. And then, what's this? This is the only about value function U. And it's, that means it's only about game 1, right? G1 game. And this is only about V, so it is only about G2 game. And then this one is the same as phi I G1, and this one is the same as phi I G2. Then it finishes the proof, right? Okay? Well, so you see, it's again a very simple trick about shifting the terms in your summation, right? Okay. Well, it may be within your expectation that these properties, they seem very natural, right? And many of them, they are very easy to prove. Well, that's a good thing. But on the other hand, it's a more challenging thing to show that if you want to satisfy all four properties, all right? So what do we call it? Efficiency, you give out all the money. Now the player, right? The value is zero. Symmetry, right? And additivity. So these four properties, if you want to satisfy them all, can you have multiple possibilities to define the money to be given to every player? The answer is no. Only one way. Okay, there's only one way. The only payoff factor that satisfies all four properties is Shapley value. But that's a more surprising result, right? If I give you Shapley value, I ask you to prove some properties. That's easy, right? That's we don't need to even bring it to the master level, right? Even undergrad level, you don't need to bring that in because that's just a straightforward, not straightforward, but it's easy to prove. But if I want to show, want you to show that, well, if you for to define a certain payoff factor to satisfy four, there's a unique option, right? A unique choice. Oh, that's something more challenging, right? And that's also, well, the more important contribution of Sharpe value. Alright? So Sharpe value is not only giving you one option or one possibility to satisfy good properties, but it tells you there's only one. Okay? This is the one and only one possibility that satisfies all four. Alright? And that makes Sharpe value extremely important. Okay? Yeah? Alright, so next. You know, Sharpe value, in order to compute Sharpe value of one specific player, the computation time is a lot. Why? Because there's a 1 over n factorial. That means your summation, you need to add among, you need to add up n factorial terms, right? N factorial terms, that's a huge computation cost, right? Because usually we say we want our algorithm to complete in polynomial time. This is not even polynomial time. It's not even 2 to the n. It's n factorial, right? It's almost impossible to compute when n is 10. When 10 is already almost impossible to compute, not to say even large numbers, even larger numbers. Now, of course, when I say 10, I'm cheating a bit, because 10 probably is still okay, right? But 20 definitely not okay, all right? It's already beyond your power to compute. Okay, so that's why if you can bring down the computation to a faster time, that will be very attractive. Okay, so now we are going to analyze how to bring down the complexity. Okay, now remember, Sharpe value, phi ij, the computation is like this, right? Okay, so it is talking about permutations. For each permutation, I add i's marginal contribution, right? So it's a second way to understand. This one is not good, this n factorial term is too big. The second one to compute it is the following. What's this? So basically, it's another exercise to, well, in order to define C, right, you need to decide whether certain elements are in C, right? Okay? How many elements do you have? Or how many players do you have? Altogether, we have n players. But remember, this guy, I cannot be in C, right? Because I is outside of C for sure, right? Because you are calculating I's marginal contribution, right? So I is not in C. So, if you remove I, how many players do you have? Yeah, very good, n minus 1 players. For each of them, they can either be in C or not in C, right? Okay. So every player has two choices, right? Yeah. Okay. So that would be 2 to the power of. Yeah. Very good. N minus one. Okay. So yeah, 2 to the power of n minus one terms. Different C, okay? Because each C, it only contributes to one term here, right? And then whenever you fix C, you need to multiply a certain coefficient next to the delta I C. This coefficient is what? This coefficient tells you, okay, whenever you finalize C, actually you can permute elements in C, right? And you can also permute elements here, right? No matter how you shuffle, it's a valid permutation, right? Okay, so how many permutations here? It's C factorial, right? The size of C factorial. How many permutations here? This, right? Total number of players, removing players in C, and then removing player I, right? Okay, so you have 2 factorials multiplied together, be the coefficient for I's marginal contribution on top of C, right? Okay? Well, so this is an easier way to compute. You may say n factorial, 2 to the n minus 1. Both of them are exponential, right? It's a difference. Well, the difference is big, especially when you can try. For example, you can try n equal to 10, and 10 here, right? So this one is still only 1,000, not more than 1,000, but this one is already huge. Alright, so for practical consideration, 2 to the n minus 1 is much, much better than n factorial. Alright? Okay? Yeah, so any question here? So if no question, let's come to some examples. Alright? So the example we are going to talk about here is induced subgraph game. Right? Okay, so for this game, remember, players are vertices, right? And then value of a collision is the total weight of the internal edges, right? Okay, like this. Okay, so this is a induced subgraph game. Now, in induced subgraph game, what is Sharpe value? Every individual player, which is every individual node here, right? What is their Sharpe value? So when you have this problem, you say, how do I solve it, right? Because I need to enumerate all the permutations of vertices. That seems too much for me, right? For example, even if you only have 5 nodes, the number of permutations is already 120, right? So, do you expect me to compute all the permutations, each individual vertex is the marginal value, and then add them up and divide by the number of permutations? Well, probably then you need 1 hour to do it, at least, okay? If you compute fast, alright? So it's not a practical way. Then, it will remind you of something that probably you can use, alright? We not only have one way to compute Sharpe value, actually we have 2 ways now. If I say 2 ways, what's the second way? Now, you can compute Sharpe value by definition. Now this is one way, right? Always work, but it's just too slow, right? Now just now we say we can reduce from the number of permutations to the number of collisions, which slightly decrease the amount of time, but it's still too much. Alright? Okay. Now, the question is, can we use some properties before? Additivity, very good, okay? So we can use the property additivity to compute the Sharpe value of big game from the Sharpe value of small games, right? Okay, so let's see how to do it. Suppose you have a triangle, and then I can split this game into 3 smaller games. First game, this edge. Second game, this edge. Third game, this edge. Alright? So I split the graph into individual edges, E1, E2, until EK. Alright? Okay, and then first, what you need to show are the value of big game. So the value function of big game is the additional value function for smaller games. Is that right? It should be correct, right? Because that's putting all the edges, right? So if your big game has some kind of internal edges, then this internal edge must show up in one of the small game, right? So definitely, I will not miss anything when I compute the weight of the internal edges, right? So the summation of game, the big game can be split into smaller games. This one should be correct, okay? So what's the next thing we'll do? We'll need to analyze. The next thing is, each smaller game, right? What's their sharpie value? But this is much, much easier because now, although you still have many, many players, but the permutations, many of them belong to the same category, right? Because now, for example, for this person has no value at all, right? There's no edge connected to this node. So no matter where they are, it cannot bring extra value to the community, right? Okay? Only who can bring extra value to the community? Only this person and this person, right? Because only if you can bring in one new edge, then you can bring in marginal value, right? Okay, so for each smaller game, only two nodes, they could bring in marginal value. That means the sharpie value of these players, only these two are non-zero. All the others are zero, right? Those with no edges, they are zero, right? Then for this edge, the two endpoints, what's their marginal value? Yeah, either one, right? Oh, sorry, not one, because there's a weight, right? There's a weight on edge. Either the weight of edge or zero, right? And these two choices is half-half, right? Because in random permutation, 50% chance this node is before that node, right? And 50% chance after. If it's before, marginal is zero. If it's after, marginal is weight of the edge, right? Okay, 50-50. Therefore, you see, the sharpie value of small game J is just half of the weight J of EJ for the nodes adjacent to the edge, right? For these two nodes. So it's half W, right? Half W. Okay. Well, so each of them are half W. Then if you add them together, what's the sharpie value? Sharpie value is just half the edge weight that connects to this node, right? I'm a node. I have three edges going out. And just add these three weights together. Divide by two. That's my sharpie value, right? Because you are doing the addition, right? Addition of these small game G, right? Okay, so I guess we'll take a break. Now this break could be a slightly longer because I have some call to pick up, we'll start a bit later. But meanwhile, please digest what we just talked about the induced subgraph game, and also start thinking about weighted voting game. What is sharpie value? Okay?